the Advent season, reflecting upon the works of divine providence and trying to encourage those thoughts of divine providence in our hearts. And the more I thought about those things, especially today or the last few days, looking that there was going to be a snowstorm before coming up and leading up to this particular Mass, and not knowing if the choir would be able to make it, if the only ones being present at the midnight Mass were myself and the server, and then to see everyone, the ones who could make it out tonight. You know, it's a good thing to show that we're accepting these particular points of divine providence, that whatever it is that God sends to us, whether it seems to be evil or seems to be good to us, it all comes from the hand of the same loving God toward us. And so accepting these particular points, this becomes a living example for us, you know, if I guess you can call it that, of all the things that we've reflected upon for divine providence and how God acts in our particular welfare by his providence to see all these things taking place. I know there's many people who wish they could be here, but could not because of the weather or for other some reasons they couldn't be, and they're following with our Mass cam that we have here, the ceremonies of today, and everything else that we're doing. So that way they're participating. And in that way too, those who follow in that manner are resigned also to the providence of God, seeing in that the hand of God for them in all of these circumstances. So it just is one thing to make all these reflections upon divine providence, but it's yet another thing here to put them into actual practice. And it seems like today, for Christmas Day, for Midnight Mass, is our opportunity for making and putting these things into practice for us. But what I'd like to do today, for at least for the Midnight Mass at this point, is just take a few minutes of a reflection, a conclusion, if you will, to these thoughts of the divine providence. The last four Sundays, we've taken the time to review the portions of divine providence, speaking particularly of God's work toward us, his mercy that he shows to us, the works that he accomplishes for us, and that all these things are done to assist us in any particular way. But there's another aspect toward divine providence that we need to at least reflect upon before we move away from that subject, and it fits in good for Christmas Day to have that point of reflection. And while we won't be speaking of the individual acts of God's mercy toward us individually for all the things that he has shown to us and done toward us, we want to talk about divine mercy itself, the very work of divine mercy toward all. You see, we think often of divine providence as that which he works toward us individually and how he helps each one of us day by day in all the things that we do, think, and say, for all the things that are for our welfare. But when we talk about his divine mercy, we look in general that not only what he gives to us each individually, but whatever is required for all of us to live correctly, to live in going to heaven. God helps and assists us in a great manner, in a general way, with things that even in some particular purposes, or purposes rather, that are beyond what it is that we could even have asked for, even have thought of. God in many things has gone beyond what is strictly necessary for you and I to survive, or for you and I to gain heaven, the strictly necessary things. He has gone beyond those particular points. And like I said, we need to at least look at that thought today before we move away from this whole subject of divine providence. For example, when God created us, he could have established in us just a purely natural condition. He would have given us whatever it took for a spiritual soul and an immortal soul, but there would be no grace, no sharing of sanctifying grace with him, no sharing of that life within him. He could have done it that way. Grace, as the saints tell us, St. Thomas particularly on these subjects, he says this sanctifying grace is something that is gratuitous. Gratuitous means it come to us without us asking for it. Because sanctifying grace is the sharing of the life of God within us. We are the very tabernacles of God. We have an opportunity to share in God's very life in our souls when we have sanctifying grace. This is why it is such a terrible thing to lose sanctifying grace by willful mortal sin. Because we kill that life of grace within us that God, by his love and mercy, has chosen to give to each one of us. It is such a wonderful thing on the part of God to share his life with us in a way which only God could allow a human creature to do so. But that is what we say, gratuitous. God has given us this means to participate in his intimate life by sanctifying grace. And there was no way that we could have ever asked for such a thing, either because we wouldn't have been deserving and we wouldn't have known how to ask for it. But God chose to do so. Another example, after the fall, after Adam and Eve had fallen, they lost sanctifying grace. After all that had taken place there, God could have left man in his fallen state. Or, if not leaving them that particular way, he could have, by some simple act of justice, he could have raised us up from a sinful state that we were in, using the words of the prophets of old or whatever, telling us what to do, certain conditions to fulfill. That way, mortal sin that is within us could be taken away. God could have chosen to have done that. But he's done something infinitely greater. It's the very mystery we reflect upon on this holy night. He gave us his only begotten Son as our Redeemer. And out of his pure mercy, this divine mercy, for nothing else we can consider, he has had his Son take flesh. His Son could have come down as a king, uttered a word, encouraged all to the following of God, showed us a pathway of penance, even established the church. He could have done all those things without being born in the stable of Bethlehem. But that was not what God wanted. By his divine mercy toward us, he wanted all of us to learn a lesson that is taught here at the manger scene. He wanted himself to take human flesh so that through flesh he could redeem created flesh. Then when it came time for him to suffer and to die for us, he would do so. And that way, we could all always appeal to the merits that he has gained for us and also learn by his example. These are just a couple of the gifts of God's mercy toward us. We could even speak of Holy Communion itself being a wonderful, gratuitous gift that none of us is deserving of. We wouldn't have thought of being able to say that we want to be able to share in the very life of God, not only by sanctifying grace, but by taking God within us. Who would have thought of such a thing? But God, in his divine mercy, in his divine love, he gave us more than what is strictly necessary. He went beyond that and gave us these great gifts. Just these three we're talking about here tonight. Sanctifying grace, the gift of himself coming in human flesh, to teach us all the examples that he has done, and then to die and redeem us, and to give us himself in Holy Communion. He's given us a means to share in his life, to have a means of forgiving even our mortal sins, the grace to come to him, to come to us, rather, in communion. Nothing we've done allows us to share, or deserve, rather, to have such things. Truly, these are what the saints call, the theologians call, gratuitous graces, things given purely out of the mercy of God without us even asking for and knowing how to do that. What I want to do, and I ask you to do, on this Christmas day, beginning now from midnight and just as you can throughout the day in a point of reflection, look back. Look back over the whole span of your own life and see how much God in his mercy has shown to you. Yes, we've talked about divine providence and how he has guided the way. But think of these particular areas: sanctifying grace, himself coming in flesh, and then allowing us to receive him in Holy Communion. Think back over these great, wonderful gifts that he has given to all and even to us individually. Think back over these things and how much mercy God has shown to you and to me. Come to the manger scene. See, think about these thoughts. Think about how much God has so given of himself. Some of the saints in their writings, they say, God has given even, it seems, unto folly, unto foolishness. Because so many people will not be grateful for such given, the gifts given by God in such a gratuitous fashion. Think about these things. Come to the manger scene. Think about what has God has given and how he has given so much more than you and I could ever deserve or ask for. And yet he has freely given it for all of us to share in. It is there for us to take part in. And while you're reflecting on those things, let's also think, what have we done in return for him? Christmas, we say, is a time of giving gifts, of showing of love and friendship. What gift will you give to Almighty God today? For all the good, for all the mercy, for all the love he has shown to you and to me, what gift will you give? Think of that, pray of that, and let what comes in your heart and soul be your answer to that question. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.